Hi, everyone. This is Kelly Jones with Inside Columbus County Schools on WZCO 89.9 FM. Have the distinct pleasure as our guest today, Ms. Janet Hedrick from Acme Delco Elementary School, who is our 2012-2013 Columbus County Schools Principal of the Year. So we're absolutely thrilled to have you here, Janet. Thanks for coming on our show.
Thank you, Kelly. I'm glad to be here.
So before we get into education and a lot of details about being a principal, we want to know a little bit more about you, and I want you to start from year one and take us all the way through, even right now.
Okay. Well, I started grade one at Acme Delco School in Delco, North Carolina, and there was no kindergarten then. I just started first grade.
Now, is that the same building you're the principal in now?
Actually, that was the current middle school.
Okay.
I am at the elementary school now. When I started school, we were still segregated. And I started grade one at Acme Delco Junior Senior High School in Delco right on 74-76. And when I got in the fifth grade, our schools integrated. When the schools integrated, the school which I'm currently at, which is Acme Delco Elementary School, it is on Old Lake Road in Riegelwood. It had been, prior to our integration, the school for the black children. And I was in fifth grade when I went there, and that school then became the K-6 school, and Acme Delco Junior Senior High School became the school for 7th through 12th grade. So I went to Acme Delco Elementary, where I'm actually the principal now, and I was there until the 7th grade. And when I went to the 7th grade, I went back over to the original school I was at, Acme Delco, which was now the junior senior high school only, grades 7 through 12, and actually graduated from Acme Delco High School in 1977. And I had a lot of great teachers along my way in school, wonderful teachers. My parents were very supportive of education. We were raised on a farm, and my mother worked with the school system for a short time before she became postmaster of the Bolton Post Office, and my parents worked very hard. Therefore, they were not able to be at the school a lot, but when we got off the school bus, they were extremely supportive of what had gone on at school. It was all about what the teachers expected us to do that night and making sure that they helped us to get it done and that they inspired in us a love for education. And that is one reason that today as principal, I always tell all parents that you can be involved even if your job does not allow you to be on the school campus. So often our parents feel that they can't be involved because they have to work shift work or they work long hours and they feel like, well, there's just no way for me to ever get to the school. But there is a way to be involved in a child's education. You don't have to come to the school. As long as a parent supports the children at home, encourages them to do well, assists them in any way that they can to get their homework done, gets them ready for the next day, and most of all, keeps a very positive attitude about learning at home and encourages children to do their very best, then they are certainly very involved. And communication can take so many different forms. You don't have to be present on the school campus to communicate with the school. We can communicate by email, text messages, phone calls, sending notes the old-fashioned way, writing a letter to the teacher. We still do that too, and if we get a letter, we'll certainly write back. So I always had a great value for education and a love for learning and some great teachers along the way. When I graduated from high school, I was accepted to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and I went there for a period of time and then decided that I wanted to come back to UNCW. So I transferred back to the University of North Carolina at Wilmington, and I got a degree in English, and I was certified to teach English in grades 6 through 12, and I really loved the field of English. I taught in the middle school for several years, taught language arts, and then along the way, I became certified in the academically gifted education program. I had a keen interest in making sure that all children were given the greatest opportunities to learn at their greatest potential. And after I became certified in gifted education, I was afforded the possibility of becoming one of the gifted educators in the county. So I applied for a position as academically gifted specialist in the county, and I served as the gifted coordinator for several years and enjoyed that position very much. I had a lot of opportunity to get to know a lot of people in Columbus County. I traveled around the county getting to know teachers, principals, central office personnel, students from all over the county, which has really enriched my lives. And I've made relationships that I shall never forget. But then the opportunity came available for me to apply for the principal of my elementary school in my hometown, and I was so excited when I was given the opportunity to become principal there. The school where I had completed my education, the school where my children had gone, and the school where now my grandchildren are. So I really have a vested interest in Acme Delco Elementary School. It's my community, and it's the neighbors whom I grew up with, and I really love being at that school. So that's what brought me where I am today.
Wow, it's full circle in a lot of ways, back to where you began. I've got to ask you this. When you're walking the hallways of Acme Delco Elementary, do you ever have any flashbacks to when you were there as a student?
I absolutely do. As I walk the halls, I'll look at a classroom and I'll say, you know, this was my fourth grade classroom, or this was my fifth grade classroom. I can remember where their teacher's desk was. I remember the science center was right over here, and yes, I will remember those things. And believe it or not, I will even remember some of the tiles on the floor.
Oh, that's a great story. Well, I do have to ask you this. I think a lot of people who are not in education don't realize what principals do these days. I think there was a time many years ago where principals primarily responsibility was as a building administrator. In other words, make sure the building was open, make sure that everyone was safe, and the teachers kind of handled the instruction. It's not that way these days. The principal is the primary go-to person when it comes to instruction at the school. And I want to ask you this question. In your opinion, what is the most important attribute that a principal must possess? We know they must have a lot of knowledge. But what is the most important attribute that a principal must have to be successful in the 21st century?
I don't even know if I can limit it to one attribute, but if I had to limit it to one attribute, I would say that it would all be based upon communication. Being willing to learn, which is a part of communication, there is not a moment of the day in which I don't feel compelled to learn more. And actually, Kelly, the more that I learn, the more that I feel like I don't even know. I guess when you don't know as much, sometimes you think you know a lot. But the more I learn, I realize that there's so much more that I actually need to know. And then I have to be able to collaborate with the teachers, collaborate with other school personnel, to collaborate with parents, to bring us all together. I have to be a good listener, able to listen and to really sincerely listen, not just put an ear up, but to really listen to the concerns and the cares of parents, the concerns, the fears, the dreams, the goals, everything that students and community have, the feelings of community stakeholders, businesses, retired folks, volunteers, teachers who are at such different stages in their lives. We have the teacher who is just young and eager, but knows that that teacher has a lot to offer, but still there is so much that the teacher has to learn. And they look at life from a different perspective sometimes than the veteran teachers. And then I have to be that listening ear for the veteran teacher who has started education a long time ago, and the changes are imminent upon them. And those teachers have fears of their own. You have the first year teacher who has a fear of, I've just gotten out of college and I'm not sure that college really taught me how to teach school. And they're really wondering, did they teach me how to teach school when I was in college? And then you've got the veteran teacher who sees so many changes, and they have fears of their own, Kelly. They have fears of, can I learn all of this new technology that is upon me? Can I learn this new curriculum that is upon me? Can I learn the things that I used to teach in third grade or now in kindergarten? Can I learn all the new expectations? So we all have fears of our own, but knowing that with knowledge and experience and professional development and collaboration with one another and listening to one another and being there for one another and have an administrator, which I hope to be that administrator that will give all the support that someone needs, that of course our fears will come, they will dissipate, and we become comfortable with what we do and knowing that I can do this because I have the support that I need to do it. So I have to be able to communicate in every aspect of communication, to listen, to learn, to read all the new information that's out there, to share with others. I have to be able to write well, to use technology. So I guess if I had to sum it up, an administrator has to be a great communicator.
And like you said, the communication is two-way. You really have to be able to listen, and you also have to be able to talk to teachers and students and parents in a way that they'll be receptive. And so yeah, I think you're exactly right.
Absolutely.
Communication is huge.
Absolutely.
In education.
And parents and students alike can always tell if you're listening sincerely and listening because you really care about what a person says, or if you're just putting up an ear to get through it. And I really hope that I have that sincere listening ear and that I can make a difference for each person who comes my way.
A great goal for all of us. You're listening to 89.9 WZCO Inside Columbus County Schools. We're talking with Janet Hedrick, who is Columbus County Schools Principal of the Year, and I think as this interview goes along, you'll see why she is the Principal of the Year. Janet, what is the most rewarding aspect of your job?
The most rewarding aspect of my job is when I see children actually get excited about learning. I really believe, Kelly, that every child is born with an innate desire to learn. I've never met a baby who didn't want to learn. I've never met a small child who didn't want to know more and who was eager to experience new things. And when a child comes to school, they are still eager to learn. They want to know more. They want new experiences. They want to broaden their horizons. But unfortunately, through a child's school, sometimes their desire to learn is somewhat dampened. They become overwhelmed. Maybe the work is, they feel like it's too difficult for them. Maybe that the learning styles haven't been explored to tap into how a child really does learn, because, Kelly, we all know, we've said that forever, that every child can learn. But oftentimes, through the years, we have brought children to school and tried to fit them all into the same path, and like trying to fit the square peg into the round hole. And when we bring children in and we help them to know that you can learn, and we're going to help you find just the way that you can learn, and we differentiate the curriculum for them, we differentiate the processes whereby we teach them, we differentiate the content, because it's like going to the beach, Kelly. It's beach season, and as our children go to the beach, some of them will just step into the sand, and some children of the same age who have had more exposure will begin to step out into the water. And those who have been fortunate enough to take swimming lessons, they will launch out a little further into the water, and they will have more comfort. But every one of those children can eventually get into the water and get wet all over and enjoy the beach. And I feel the same way about learning. We can't take our children into the classroom and expect them all to dive in to the same part of the water. We have to take them where they are and find the way that they learn and differentiate the processes whereby we teach and differentiate that content, knowing, though, that the expectation is still great and it's still high, and we will not settle for less, but we will teach them in chunks to get them where they are. And to see those children really still love to learn, even after they've been at my school for 6 years, they leave me when they get finished with fifth grade, but to see them still excited and to still love to learn. A little girl came to me the other day, and I love telling this story because it really touches my heart. She came, she was talking to me in the hallway, and I looked at her and I said, "What would you like for Acme Delco Elementary School to do for you?" And she said, "I just want you to make our dreams come true." Well, my face lit up that she had that much confidence in us, that she thought that we could help her make her dreams come true. And you know, Kelly, that's what education does. Education helps children make their dreams come true. And without the education, their dreams can't come true. And I've always said Acme Delco Elementary School was nestled in a little rural community with fields around us. And some of our children have had more exposure than others, and they may not have had as much exposure as some children in the world. But you know what? They're born with just as much ability as any child in the world. And they have dreams. And even some of our children, we help them to expand upon their dreams and deepen their dreams and broaden their dreams, because some of their dreams are limited on what their exposure has been, on what they know. And that's with me, Kelly. My dreams are limited compared to some. We all are, because there's somebody who's always had more exposure than you have. But we help them to reach out into that big world and learn more. And as they learn more, their dreams grow and get bigger. And then as their dreams get bigger, we have a bigger job to help them accomplish those dreams. But when we see a child dependent upon us, really dependent upon us to help them accomplish their dreams, wow, Kelly, that's a great big task.
It is.
And that is, that, I guess that's the best feeling in the world, to see that child who still loves to learn and still has dreams, and they haven't began to believe that, you know, I don't have any dreams, because they do. And we want to keep giving them dreams and helping them to build upon them.
I think that's key. And, of course, my background in the arts, this really came to bear for me, where every child is exceptional at something, and we have to find what that exceptionality is for that particular child, so we can enhance those dreams, so we can make them realize that they have special talents to offer society and the world.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And I know that we have such limited resources in our county, but the greatest resource that a child will ever have, Kelly, is a great teacher who really cares about that individual teacher, I mean, that individual child, and who will look down deep into that child and find that child's gifts and use those gifts and talents to help that child then to learn all the necessary elements of instruction that they must learn. And when the child realizes that what they can do, they'll have an eagerness to learn.
Well, let's go the other direction. Let's talk a little bit about some of the challenges. What would you say is the biggest challenge that you face as a principal, or that principals in general face?
Well, principals in general face the challenge of knowing that our children need more and more, and trying to give them more and more and satisfy all the expectations that are given down to us by the government, which I have never been against any high expectation that the government imposed upon me, because I have high expectations for my children myself. I have great expectations for my children myself. But we know that because our children have so many challenges of their own, because of so many challenges in the community, in the homes, children come to us many times with great challenges that we have to help offset in order to help them to get the academics that they actually need. And I do hate to go back to the word money and resource. I do, because I've just said that the greatest resource we can ever have is a great teacher. But when a teacher really cares about those students, and my teachers absolutely do, Kelly, my teachers care about those students. And when a teacher sees all that a child needs, and a teacher is sitting there looking at 24 children with various needs, some who have greater needs than others, and that teacher knows that I need so many resources to meet the needs of this large class that I have. I need so much to help them. I could use some other personnel to help me, because, Kelly, a lot of our children need additional help with their verbal abilities and with their math instruction. They need additional help beyond what the teacher can actually do in the classroom, but our resources are limited. One teacher to perhaps 24 children, and I guess the challenges of the resources to meet the needs the way that a teacher who cares would actually like to meet the needs is the greatest challenge.
And it's very frustrating to all the principals that I speak to, because there are so many things you know could make things better, but you're limited by money. I mean, money, budget is a reality. And I think one of the things that strikes me the most is the way that the budget cuts have affected assistance in the classroom.
Absolutely. And another thing that our children want so much, as we talked about before, every child has talents and gifts. And our children absolutely love the arts. Mm-hmm. And when our music teacher comes for 12 weeks in a year and leaves, the children, they're so disappointed. There's a vacancy, an emptiness there. Our art teacher comes, and the children are so excited that they have art. And it's not just drawing pictures either, Kelly, which is great. But the art teacher is collaborating with our general education teachers and incorporating the arts into the classroom. And the child who was struggling in math in the classroom or struggling in reading, they are able to see how that art goes hand in hand with that. And they're able to feel successful. And then their feeling of success motivates them to want to be successful in every discipline, because they know that just art alone, standing alone, is not enough. That art must be supported with the other disciplines. And our children have even offered, Kelly, to raise money to keep our art and music teacher all year. Children have looked at me and said, "Miss Hedrick, if we raise some money, could you keep our art and music teacher all year? And do you know how I would like to offer that opportunity for them?" But that's how much the arts mean to them.
Well, thank you. And, of course, I wholeheartedly agree. And one of the things that we have to make as our goal going forward is to have, you know, the type of funding where we can provide those students with art every day. And the reason why is not because of art, but because art and music help make those very important connections with the other disciplines. And for some, it's the only pathway that they can really grab onto complex concepts. So I'm with you, and I hopefully we won't have to resort to taking up donations, but we can do it through the state budget process. Tell us a little bit about the process of Principal of the Year. How did you become Principal of the Year? How were you named Principal of the Year?
Well, in Columbus County, my peers voted on the Principal of the Year, and I was very privileged and honored that my peers in Columbus County, with the number of schools that we have, would put enough confidence in me to vote upon me to actually represent them. Because Principal of the Year is more than just me becoming the Principal of the Year for Columbus County. I'm actually representing other principals in the county. I'm representing the Board of Education. I am representing Columbus County Schools. And to think that my peers would place enough confidence to vote upon me to represent them is just totally overwhelming.
And for our listeners out there, we have 19 principals in our county, in the county school system, and we meet frequently. There are frequent meetings, so all of these principals work together in a collaborative environment and know your work very well, and I'll echo that with the quality of administrators we have in our county. For them to select you, it is a great honor, but I might add is very deserved too.
Well,
so
I'm very humbled and thankful for that, Kelly.
Talking about teachers or maybe even principals that you had, you talked to us about Acme Delco Elementary School and its many changes over the years and you going to both what is now Delco Elementary and Delco Middle when you were going to school. Can you think of a teacher or a principal even that you had growing up and when you were in school, K-12, that even now you think back and say, you know, that teacher transformed me, changed my life?
Kelly, I had many teachers, of course, as we all do, but if I think of one who inspired me to go into the profession in which I did, which is English, I would say it was Connie Jacobs. Connie Jacobs was my high school English teacher, and she truly loved English. She really did. And she was very particular about all aspects of English, the grammar, the writing, the literature, and she had high expectations of us as students. And I really learned to love English. In fact, unlike some folks, I really love diagramming sentences. I went to UNCW and took a class on linguistics, and in some of my classes we had to diagram sentences. And I was just right in heaven. I could go back to some of my teachers and remember diagramming sentences and breaking those apart. Now, I know some folks think there's no need for that now, but I really did learn the use of the English language and the literature. I always had a great love for psychology. In fact, I have a minor in psychology and sociology. That is a love of my heart. And when I went into English, psychology and sociology had a place right there with the literature. I love the literature, and my high school English teachers, and Connie Jacobs in particular, they love the literature just as if they knew those characters personally. And I learned to love it the same way. And I still get excited over English, whether it be writing, grammar, the literature. I still love it. And as a principal, that is still my love, and I appreciate those teachers who did teach me so much about the English language and about literature.
Wonderful. Talk to us a little bit about the changes that you've seen over, let's say, the last 7 years or so. What are some of the large changes that you've seen in education in that time frame?
Well, over the last 7 years, of course, in the last 7 years, the accountability, it gets stiffer, I would say, each year. There's a great amount of accountability. And the No Child Left Behind has really been in effect for the last 7 years. And we have had so many changes even with that. But our county, I'd like to say, has risen to that challenge. Columbus County Schools has provided professional development to bring us up to par with the accountability that has been imposed upon us with the No Child Left Behind, and to train all teachers with the North Carolina Standard Course of Study. So the accountability changes are probably the greatest. And now, of course, we have a great change that is upon us, and that is the Common Core curriculum, which I am so excited about. I truly am, Kelly, because the Common Core curriculum is going to take our children so much deeper into the curriculum, so much deeper into the critical thinking processes, and so much deeper into really applying what we learn to the real world out there. And we're very excited about being one of the states who joined the Common Core. But, of course, we have a lot of professional development to so that we can really come up to par with getting our children to where they need to be. But I feel like we will rise to that challenge.
And I'll echo that. Being a former theater teacher, one of the things I always thought we shortchanged our students on in English language arts is the ability to communicate vocally, verbally. And one of the things about the Common Core that I'm excited about is it's going to demand of our students the ability to get up in front of a room and be able to communicate, vocally. And I really think it's going to change the way that we approach educating children with English language arts in particular. And so I'm personally, as a theater person, I'm excited about it.
Well, I am too. And, you know, so many times children will say, where will I ever use this? When will I use this? But with the Common Core, they're going to see immediately how that this is beneficial to success in the society in which we live, to reach out and to be competitive in the business world. And whatever path that these children choose, they're going to see right on the spot how this is meaningful. It's relative to my life now, and I can see how it's going to be relative to my success in the future to compete in this world.
So if you could change one thing, this is the big question here that I think we all think about, usually at 2 o'clock in the morning when we can't sleep as educators. If you could change one thing about education today, what would it be?
If I could change one thing about education, I'm sure that there's much more, but speaking about something that we feel like is in the realms of our, that we can actually change, if I could help all stakeholders realize that our children only get one chance at this. They only get one chance. I'm a parent. I'm a grandparent. But in the busy world in which we live, we sometimes realize that a year has passed. A whole year has passed. And we have maybe fallen short in helping our child to make the very best out of a year of his or her life. And I believe if parents, community members, could really take a renewed interest in not just a grade, but a renewed interest in helping children to actually learn and succeed and make school a priority. We talk about priorities, but honestly, Kelly, I can't tell you that learning is the priority all the time for many of us. We sometimes lose sight of the priority because of the busyness, I guess, in the world in which we live. But I would like to see everybody stop and make school and learning, make learning a priority. And not just school, because learning has to occur outside of the school walls in order for a child to succeed. But if we could make learning a priority once more, that would be the greatest change I think we can make.
Okay, so we're closing out things and have a little tradition here on Inside Columbus County Schools where I want to ask you several questions and you can't think about them very long. You just have to answer them, and we're going to get to know you a little bit better. So what was your favorite food when you were a child?
My favorite food was fried chicken. My mother made the best fried chicken in the world. And she would have grease just popping away. And when we could hear that grease popping, Kelly, we just knew fried chicken was on the stove. Yes.
What is your favorite indoor-outdoor activity when you're not in school?
My favorite indoor activity is reading. And, Kelly, I would probably say my favorite outdoor activity would be reading, too. Okay. I love to read, and I love to learn about people. I love to communicate with people, have real conversations with people, and learn about who a person really is. And that's quite a hobby for me, to really learn who a person is and where a person's coming from and their thought processes. So reading and getting to know people.
What is your favorite time of year and why?
Kelly, spring is my favorite time of year, because in the spring you feel like you're getting a new chance to see life again. You see things that have laid dormant for a season, and now you see those things that have died out begin to spring up, and you know that it's like a new beginning to start all over again, and to know that there's always new beginnings in life. And I love that. I love new beginnings, to let everybody know that there's new beginnings every day. Each day is a new day. Each year is a new year. And we're reminded of those new beginnings when spring comes and we see things begin to bud and come back to life. And we know that there's always hope for newness for all of us.
A lesson for all of us to remember in our daily lives and stresses, definitely. What sound do you love?
I love the sound of birds chirping, Kelly. I actually had an old cassette tape. Of course, cassette tapes are nowhere anymore, but I had an old cassette tape that had different sounds of birds chirping, and I would put it in the little cassette players and walk. I would walk and hum right along with the birds singing. So I love to hear birds sing.
If you could witness any event, past, present, or future, what would it be?
This is very personal, but I believe that I would like to, I look forward to witnessing my grandchildren graduate from college in a field that they would love to be in. That would be, right now, that would be my greatest dream to witness, is when those grandchildren, who, like I said, are at my school right now, and I dream to see the day they graduate from an accredited college in the field in which they want to go into.
If you could meet anyone, living or dead, who would you meet?
Well, I would like to meet Jesus Christ one day. And I don't consider him to be dead. I consider him to be still living. But I would love to meet Jesus Christ and see the man who came to earth and did so many wonderful things for people and gave his life for us as well.
Okay, last question here. What is the number one song, besides the birds, on your iPod? So if you just had one song that you could have on a desert island, what would that song be?
The number one song on my iPod would be In the Garden, because my faith is very deep, and I love the chorus to that song. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own.
Okay, well, to honor you as Principal of the Year, we're going to play out with In the Garden. And this is Kelly Jones with Janet Hedrick, the 2012-2013 Columbus County Schools Principal of the Year. Janet, it's been an honor. And let me say personally, we're very proud of you and the work that you do at Acme Delco Elementary School.
Thank you, Kelly, for the privilege to be here.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'll stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, and he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.